there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode, we are talking with Greg Taylor, fisheries biologist from the United States Army Corps of Engineers. Today, we will learn about the Detroit Dam drawdown that is scheduled to take place in the winter of 2026. The drawdown is being considered primarily to improve downstream passage for endangered salmon and steelhead, as required by a biological opinion completed in 2024. Many residents of Salem and Staten have concerns about how this will impact drinking water, which comes from the dam in the North Sanium River. So we are here today to help folks have the information they need to understand this complicated process. And I am so excited to learn from you today. So a big welcome to you, Greg.
Thanks for having me, Chelsea.
Yeah, so just jumping right in. First, can you explain what a dam drawdown is and why they are done?
Yeah, so I think in simplest terms, a drawdown is something we do at the dam to lower the elevation of the reservoir to meet a specific authorized purpose or objective. Probably the easiest one for people to kind of wrap their arms around and one they're familiar with is that, you know, in the summertime, Detroit is typically full or close to full. And then by the fall and the winter, the reservoir is much lower in elevation. And we're doing that to make sure that we have space in that reservoir to capture floodwaters in the wintertime. And so that's, I think, the most tangible or kind of the easiest example of why or how a drawdown works. We're just lowering that reservoir elevation down for the authorized purpose. In this case, it's flood risk management. We are doing these things for other reasons as well. And so other things that we use these reservoir drawdowns for typically are, you know, just sometimes we have maintenance requirements at the dam. And so we need to do a maintenance activity or a repair. It requires a lower elevation in the reservoir. So we'll bring the pool down, complete the maintenance, and then bring the pool back up. In this case, with this particular drawdown at Detroit that's going to happen this fall and winter, the objective here is really to improve downstream fish passage for juvenile Chinook salmon that are living in Detroit Reservoir. So we have done a number of these drawdowns over the years at core dams to support downstream fish passage. And so this is just another one of those.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's great to know kind of the other reasons. So it's not just for fish passage, but this particular one is. But there's a lot of ways that this is used as a tool for water management.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at dams across the Pacific Northwest, they operate a little bit differently depending on what their authorized purposes are or the objectives for operating those particular facilities. So if you were to transition, say, over to the Columbia River, look at a Bonneville Dam, it doesn't have a flood risk management authorization. And so that particular pool operates what we call run of the river. In other words, whatever kind of comes into that dam goes out. And so you see no seasonal lowering or raising of that elevation of that particular reservoir because of how it's operated. Our dams, in this case, are different, and we're using them for flood risk management. And so this seasonal drawdown is something that's always happened. Maybe this is the time to kind of talk about the distinction between that normal seasonal drawdown that we do and this particular operation. Big picture, again, what we're trying to do with this particular drawdown is improve downstream fish passage for juvenile Chinook salmon that live in the reservoir. To do that, what we need to do is help those fish find their way out of the dam. And then when they do find a route out of the dam, we want that to be the safest route possible, so that their survival is as high as they can be. And so what we know about fish, and in this case, juvenile salmon that live in these reservoirs, it's kind of a magic number for them to be effective at finding their way out. And that number is usually about 50 feet or less to the outlet structure at a dam like this. So that could be our turbine units, that could be our regulating outlet, that could be a spillway gate, it could be a number of different features that pass water at our dams, but those fish are going to find their way out most effectively through that particular route when the depth of the reservoir over that particular structure is 50 feet or less. So what this drawdown does is it targets our regulating outlet gates at Detroit Dam. Those gates happen to be about 95 feet below our normal low point for the reservoir in the winter. So what we're targeting is to draw the pool down eventually an additional 55 feet within 50 feet of those regulating outlet gates, so that fish can find their way out in the wintertime. And those regulating outlet gates are a form of a spill gate, and they're the much safer passage route for fish out of the dam than our turbine units. So there's no trick here, really. It's just a matter of kind of narrowing up the depth of the reservoir to that safe route so fish can find it and survive at a higher rate when they do migrate out.
That kind of brings up two points. First, how are fish usually passed from downstream the dam to upstream where they need to go?
Broadly, in the Willamette Basin, we have Chinook salmon and we have winter steelhead that are listed under the Endangered Species Act. The primary mechanism that is going to be used to improve their status over time is to reestablish and sustain populations above these dams. The vast majority of the historic habitat for those species is above Corps of Engineers dams in the Willamette Basin. So that's, you know, above in the North Saniam and the Brighton Bush above Detroit. It's in the McKenzie Basin, South Fork McKenzie Basin above Cougar. It's in the Middle Fork Willamette above Lookout Point, Hills Creek Reservoirs. And then it's, Quartzville, Middle Saniam, South Saniam above Foster and Green Peter. That's where the habitat is, most of it, for these species. And so it's really critical, if we're going to improve status, to A, get the adults up there. The way that's done is they are collected at the base of these dams at fish facilities, and we have what's called trap and haul in this basin. So fish are physically handled, they ascend a ladder, they're captured, but then they're loaded on trucks, and they're physically trucked above the reservoirs and released to the habitat above these dams. That's step one. That's been going on in most of these basins for either the life of the dam in some cases, or in other cases, at least 25 to 30 years. But that's only the piece, a piece of the puzzle. The harder part and the more difficult part is after those fish are released, then they'll go up these tributaries and they spawn. Those eggs incubate in the gravel. The juveniles emerge in the late winter and spring, and then they start to migrate downstream, like they always would. But they end up in these large reservoirs. And the most difficult technical challenge we have in the Willamette to reestablishing these populations is really helping those small fish find their way out of the reservoir and to survive at high enough rate that we get enough of those fish back to sustain populations of these fish above the dam. And so the drawdown is targeting that second piece, the downstream passage piece, and getting juveniles out of the reservoir and at the highest survival rate we can.
Okay, that helps. Thank you so much for clarifying that.
Yeah, so the normal fluctuation of Detroit Reservoir is between a low point of elevation 1450. That's the low point. And we're typically there in the months of December and January. And then the pool eventually fills up to elevation 1563 and a half. Now, we have, and I won't go into all these details, but an interim risk reduction measure that's lowered that number by 5 feet to elevation 1558 and a half. And that's for a dam safety reason. Point is the pool fluctuates, in this case, about 108 feet each year. That's the normal fluctuation, normal operation of the pool. What the drawdown is going to do is, because it's targeting our regulating outlet gates and we want to be within 50 feet of them, instead of stopping at that low point of 1450, it's going to bring the pool down an additional 55 feet to elevation 1395. In other words, lower than we would normally operate the reservoir, so that we're in 50 feet, within 50 feet of those regulating outlet gates, hold it there probably for a couple of weeks, and then eventually the reservoir will then just fill back up to that normal low point and then operate normally from February on.
Yeah, I think the key word that I heard was eventually you'll get it to that new low point. So is this going to happen all at once, or is this going to be occurring in phases? How long can we expect to see the impacts from this, and what is kind of the timeline that we should expect?
Yeah, so I think what we want to do with this particular drawdown is we want to implement it over time, in over a number of years. And the reason we'd like to do that is, if we do that, we think we can really minimize the amount of turbidity that we're producing and the sediment that's ultimately passed downstream. One of the impacts of these reservoir drawdowns can be turbid water and sediment being produced that's ultimately some fraction of it released downstream, which can impact a number of things, can impact ecology. But the biggest impact we've seen with some of the other drawdowns, of course, is potential impacts to drinking water providers who are treating that water before it's ultimately safe for people to drink. What we're hoping to do is, in this first year, we're going to bring the pool down like we always would in November, and then we're going to be targeting that normal elevation 1450, normal low point in early December, and then we'll continue to bring the pool down. In this year, we're going to target an elevation that's about 25 feet below elevation 1450, so 1425. And the reason we've chosen that elevation is because that is an elevation we've been to a number of times in recent years. We've been there for some maintenance work. We've been there in some dry conditions. But multiple times over the years, we've been down to that elevation 1425. And we haven't seen any adverse water quality impact associated with that. That seems like, in year one, a safe place to start. Go down to that 25 feet, hold the pool there for several weeks, and then bring the pool back up. In subsequent years, the way the drawdown will work is we'll bring the pool down again in that November timeframe. In December, we'll reach that elevation 1450, again, the normal low elevation set point, and then we'll bring the pool down. But say in year two, instead of going down to elevation 1425, we'll bring the pool down that much further. Ultimately, we want to get, like I said, down to that elevation 1395, 55 feet down. But what we're going to do is, in doing that, we're going to be in real time watching the amount of sediment and turbidity that's being produced during the operation. And then we'll have to make decisions about how far to go down based on what we're observing, and either continue to bring the pool down if the turbidity levels are remaining low, or halting the drawdown for that particular year and then restarting it in a subsequent year. What it is going to be over time kind of an incremental reduction of what the lowest point is each year, and then ultimately trying to get to that target elevation, like I said, of elevation 1395.
Okay, so yeah, it's kind of more easing into that target drawdown elevation that you're thinking of. So that's good to know. It won't be just all at once kind of flooding the downstream river with all the sediment and everything. So that's a lot less scary.
Yeah, I think it's in this case, because I think something important to note is that the drawdowns at Lookout Point and at Green Peter, those were done under an injunction, and they were non-discretionary. In other words, there was a court order that required them to be done, and they were designed to be done a certain way. And so those particular drawdowns, we went all the way down to the target elevation in the first year. Here, this drawdown is part of our biological opinion, so it's our requirements under the Endangered Species Act, our Endangered Species Act compliance. But we have the discretion to shape this operation. And so that is really key, because we're able to kind of minimize some of the impacts to the other authorized purposes, and yet still work towards, you know, that ultimate goal of elevation 1395 and getting down to where we think we're going to see some of the best downstream fish passage associated with this drawdown.
Just a quick update. If you are now joining us, I'm here with Greg Taylor, fisheries biologist with the United States Army Corps of Engineers. And you are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio at 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. What is the science behind this decision? I know you kind of touched on the science of what the fish need in order to have safe passage, but what evidence is there to suggest that the drawdown is the best option for improving fish passage for the endangered species? And what's the alternative situation if this is not done?
Yeah, we have a lot of history, a lot of science behind this. And so I think an important point to make here is we're not guessing about whether these fish are going to pass downstream. When you lower these reservoir elevations and you get within the types of elevations that we're talking about, so, and again, I mentioned kind of that 50 feet and below, the science that we've collected for 70 years or better at these dams with juvenile Chinook salmon shows that they will move out in large numbers. And so I just want to make sure that people understand we're not guessing as to whether these fish are going to move downstream. All the science that's been collected all these years says that they will. What that doesn't ensure, and what we can't control, is, you know, kind of the outcome. So we can get the fish out, but ultimately, you know, kind of the payoff is, well, how many adult fish do we get back? And there's a lot less control on that part of it, right? These fish are going on a substantial journey down through the main stem Willamette, out to the ocean for multiple years and back. And, you know, sometimes that ocean environment is favorable, sometimes less favorable. And so we'll probably get a lot of variability in what we ultimately see in some of the adult returns. But the reality is, with the existing infrastructure of this dam, this is the tool in our tool belt to pass these fish downstream in meaningful numbers. Again, in those kind of two ways, right? Help fish find it, and then, because this route is safer, improve the survival if they do find it, because it's a safer route out of the dam.
Why was the dam not constructed with, I guess, these like necessary lower elevations in mind for what salmon need? Was that intentional, or was that kind of just like lack of evidence or science that we knew back then when the dam was constructed about salmon and what they need?
Yeah, that's a good question. So each one of our dams, there were decisions made about the types of fish passage structures that were going to be built and kind of the populations of fish that we would ultimately maintain. And that, you know, that decision was a little bit different as you look around the different sub-basins. If you go over to Fall Creek Dam, Fall Creek's a small tributary of the Middle Fork Willamette. That dam was designed with an upstream passage facility, and it was designed with a downstream fish passage facility as well, which was a set what we call fish horns, just a kind of like a regulating outlet structure that allowed for some surface elevation or flow into it to pass fish downstream. Now that failed, and so we've used drawdowns at that particular dam for almost the entire life of the dam. But there was designed upstream and downstream fish passage. At Detroit, that was never the plan. The plan was to collect fish at Detroit at the Minto Fish Collection Facility downstream of Big Cliff Dam. But ultimately, it was only for hatchery production. So the natural production that was going to be sustained, or the wild fish population that was going to be sustained, was only going to be sustained below the dam. That was always the plan. These dams were conceived, really, if you want to think about it this way, of 100 years ago. And so that was what was envisioned in the North Sandium at the time. Now, that has certainly changed with the listing of fish in 1999. Under the Endangered Species Act. So what you're doing now is you're trying to take a dam that never conceived of passing these fish safely downstream, and you're trying to reoperate it with no additional infrastructure to improve downstream fish passage, and you're doing the best you can with what you got to work with. And so, you know, it's a big change, and it's a challenge because there wasn't designed downstream fish passage at a place like Detroit. The Natural Resource Agencies, you know, working with the Corps of Engineers, came up with what we were going to have in terms of fish passage facilities at these dams, and then how much mitigation hatchery production was going to be produced. And so in some cases, there was less mitigation hatchery production and more reliance on fish passage facilities. Other cases, they thought the best approach was to kind of lean heavy into hatchery mitigation versus investing in these fish passage facilities. And there was an approach that didn't, kind of maximize one of those alternatives over the other. It didn't just say you will have fish passage facilities up and downstream at every dam and there'll be very little hatchery production, and vice versa, you didn't have a situation where there was no fish passage facility of any kind, but there may not have been downstream fish passage, and so effectively you were leaning heavily into hatchery mitigation. And you know, that was the decision society made at the time. I don't know that it's, you know, is reflective of exactly how society views that today, of course, you know, and in the Endangered Species Act is a reflection of that. So, we're trying to operate facilities different to support, you know, this different desire and need based on a federal law.
That is really interesting. Does that have to do with when the dams were built, or is it just no one really anticipated seeing salmon be listed and it was just kind of random decisions were made differently in different places?
You know, I think the anticipation, and if there was maybe a miss, right, in some of that thinking, I think what people anticipated was that the natural production below the dam would be more successful than it has been over time. And there were some things about how the dam has changed, primarily water quality and primarily temperature, that weren't fully appreciated what some of those impacts were going to be to wild fish production. I think the intent was good, right? And the idea that, oh, well, the water's generally going to be cold. These salmon should be able to successfully spawn and rear and do all these things. And you're going to have this mix of hatchery fish returning, but you'll still have, you know, strong and robust wild fish populations that are using these areas below the dam. And that part largely didn't play out. And so now we have a choice, right, to try to either make that downstream environment better or perform better, or reestablish and put fish back up in the habitat we know is good habitat, and then try to improve this downstream fish passage piece so we can sustain these populations above the dams. And that's where we're headed and have been headed for quite some time in the Willamette, is reestablishing these fish populations in the historic habitat above the dams. I'm happy to talk to folks about this, so if people can reach out to me, and I'm certainly happy to answer any questions people have.
Awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate the openness to feedback from the public and the communities, because it does impact everyone. Thank you so much. And yeah, we will make sure to stay tuned as this process unfolds over the next few years.
Since this conversation with Greg included so much important information about the drawdown, we will be airing our entire discussion in two parts. To hear the second part of our discussion, please tune in to our September Conservation Spotlight episode on Willamette Wake Up.
I've been talking with Greg Taylor, fisheries biologist with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, about the deep drawdown of the Detroit Dam starting in the winter of 2026 and extending into the upcoming years to help improve fish passage. And I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, the Natural Areas Conservation Planner for the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation on the Detroit Dam drawdown. Every effort counts, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our website at marionswcd.net or the United States Army Corps of Engineers Portland District website at nwp.usace.army.mil, and our Facebook page for follow-up information and resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. Also, sharing this podcast with others is a great way to spread awareness and encourage positive action. If you liked what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, please tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening, and keep up the conservation conversation.